Every year in Tucson, hundreds of dealers from countries around the world gather for the Tucson Gem and Mineral Show. It's been held there since 1955, and it's grown a lot since then. This year, the Arizona Daily Star estimates 50,000 people are expected to attend. It's part of a growing industry of gems and crystals that are often part of a new age approach to well-being. Gems and crystals can lead to healing and connect us with the earth. As an example, actress Gwyneth Paltrow's lifestyle company Goop sold an $84 water bottle containing an obelisk-like amethyst crystal to infuse the water with positive energy. But where do these precious gems come from? Reporter Emily Atkin with The New Republic tried to find out, and she found just getting that information wasn't all that easy. I caught up with her recently via Skype to talk more about it, and she began by telling me just how much this industry has grown in recent years.
Yeah, in the last year or two, for some reason, it's really blown up, I think, with people's interest in wellness and self-care growing. People are going to more new wave type ways to do that. And healing crystals have turned into at least $1 billion, if not a multi-billion dollar industry.
Wow. And where do most people buy these?
Most people buy them online. There are certain communities, you know, where you can go and find a little healing crystal shop where, you know, a small owner alongside maybe some incense and other things. So some people have the stores there, but it's a pretty big online industry.
Yeah. So then what you looked into here is essentially how the people who are selling them often online are getting these gems. How did you go about this?
Well, I found that there can be some questionable sources, but what I mostly found is that in most cases, you won't find a source listed for a stone that you want to purchase.
Right.
That information just won't be available to you. So I contacted a lot of different sellers to try and find the various ways that they get sourced. And to put it as shortly as possible, they can come from good places, but they can come from bad places, because the fact is that these are stones and they come from mines. Some mines are totally fine for the environment and well regulated, and some are the opposite.
Right. And within this sort of world of crystals and healing crystals, how big a deal is the Tucson Gem Show, and how often is it a source for a lot of these sellers?
The Tucson Gem Show is almost always where sellers of healing crystals procure their crystals.
Almost always. Wow. Okay.
Yeah. At least from the sellers that I spoke to, one even told me that it would be very weird if someone didn't go there to get their crystals, because it's a huge show. I mean, it's the showcase itself. There's the Tucson Gem and Mineral Show, which is the official event, but the showcase is it's all over Tucson. It's all these different independent shows. And there are, I mean, I think about 1,300 total dealers from almost every state and over 30 countries generally.
Wow.
That coalesce in Tucson.
So when you went about trying to find out where exactly these originate and how mining and the mining industry is connected, why was it so hard to track down?
There are a couple of reasons. One reason is because a lot of sellers are so disconnected from the mining process that they actually don't know where their stones come from. They just sort of buy it from a tumbler or someone who made it look pretty, who was, you know, another three steps removed from the mining process. Mm-hmm. A lot of people had just never asked or had never even thought about it. Another reason is that if some sellers did know the mine that it came from, they didn't want to give away their confidential business information, because the fact is that stones are a non-renewable resource, and this is a growing industry. So if somebody else finds where they get their stones, then that's a potential competitor that might offer more money for the great stones that they get. So they don't want to tell me where it comes from.
Sure.
So I would say it's mostly sellers not knowing and half sort of a trade secret.
Yeah. Can you give us some examples of some that you found and were able to trace back and where they came from?
Sure. I found a few stones on a website called mindfind.com that were explicitly traced back to the Democratic Republic of Congo. And these are stones that you could easily buy for yourself, and they're marketed as doing various things for you, clearing various chakras. But they're also traced back to a country that has notoriously lax mining regulations and is known for having child miners. So it's not that I found that a child mined this stone. It's mm-hmm. that you can tell from this one source that it came from a country where a child could have mined the stone.
Sure.
Now, a child could not have mined a healing crystal in the United States. We have labor regulations for that. But I was able to find some stones that came from large-scale copper mines in the United States.
Hmm.
I found that in the United States, sometimes we derive healing crystals from large-scale industrial mines because when you're mining for something like copper, you can find a seam of something pretty and sell it on the side.
Hmm.
So I was able to trace stones back to a copper mine, for example, in Utah, that has been cited a dozen times for polluting the local community's water source, for example, right? And that might be fine with you, but if you're somebody who's trying to use a healing crystal for purification of yourself, it also might be important for you to know that as well.
Yeah, I mean, so I wonder what kind of reaction you're getting from digging into this, from the people who are interested in buying and selling these, because there seems to be a little bit of irony here, right? Like that these are supposed to be healing crystals that connect us to the earth.
The reaction I'm getting is honestly shock. Nobody's mad at me for revealing it. People overwhelmingly have reached out and been actually thankful for just raising the issue.
Hmm.
I think it's just such a new industry and a new fad, I guess, that it just didn't cross a lot of people's minds. And so I've actually gotten a really positive response, sellers and buyers alike, saying that they're going to do more to ensure ethical sourcing because, you know, people buying healing crystals, I won't characterize everybody, but they're not bad people. You know, they don't want child mining or water pollution. They just hadn't thought of it.
Yeah, yeah, that's interesting. So do you think that this is kind of the moment when that conversation will come about because of reporting like yours, but also just because this is a moment when that industry is really booming? Like consumers are really aware of blood diamonds, right? And that industry is so big that that's something that's really come to the forefront. Do you think that we're due for some sort of regulation or awareness in this industry?
Awareness is the only thing I think right now we could hope for. I mean, the blood diamond issue came to light because of so much public pressure, and there really hasn't been any public pressure on healing crystals. So I think we're a long way away.
Yeah. All right. That's Emily Adkin, a health and environment reporter for The New Republic. Emily, thank you for joining us to talk about this today.
Thanks for having me.